Thanks for tuning into the Hidden Tracks podcast. You can find us wherever you find podcasts or listen to music. When you have an opportunity, please give us a 5-star review, write a little note, tell us how we're doing. We really appreciate it. It helps us keep this thing going. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us at Facebook at Hidden Tracks. Instagram is at Hidden Tracks 99. And if you'd like to send in submissions or talk to us or give us any feedback about what we're doing, our email is myhiddentracks99@gmail.com. Thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Threw me out the windowsill. Honey, I'm a dollar bill. I think I'm in the window still. Spend me however you will. If the car keeps running, won't stop coming to see you. If the car keeps running, won't stop coming, Sophia. See, use me, if you see me run, won't you keep the light on? Use me, you said it's 2-1, but you're giving me none. You drew me like a lottery. I'm not worth the waiting, me. You play me like a memory. Honey, don't you play with me. When she said it to me in the middle of the flight, her hands are kind of shaky like a horse's in the night. If the car keeps running, won't stop coming to see ya. If the car keeps running, won't stop coming, Sophia. So use me,
if you see me. What's up, Mike? Welcome to the show.
How's it going?
Great. So traveling through a storm in Wisconsin on tour right now, so I appreciate you taking the time out to do this.
Yeah, no worries. My pleasure.
How's everything going so far?
Going well. We've had some pretty amazing shows. We've all been pretty much sold out, us in the 502s. And yeah, we were in Chicago last night at Talia Hall, which is like an amazing venue. It's like a 130-year-old opera house. Really neat spot.
That's awesome. So why don't you give me a quick background how you guys all got together and Oliver Hazard, how it became this huge thing that I think it is right now.
Yeah, so more or less in 2016, I was living out in California as, you know, working as an outdoor educator for a company called Outward Bound. I was guiding backpack trips, and I had written some goals by the end of the year that I wanted to accomplish. One of them was to play a dive bar show. So I went back home to Ohio over winter break and, you know, had a couple weeks left to accomplish that goal, and hit up a couple of friends who I knew were musicians. They were like, you know, not super close with them, but they were like local acquaintances. And, asked them if they wanted to play a show with them. And we wrote some material for the show. We wrote about 5 songs. I got a 20-minute slot at a local dive bar, best of the best. And all of our friends came, and they really liked the show and kind of gave us confidence to you know, write a few more songs that following week. And serendipitously, the same time, I'd heard about this recording contest that was floating around our local community. Had to put your name in a hat. Some studio was offering free recording. And I put a fake band name because, you know, the project was just kind of whimsical. It didn't really have a band name yet. Or was it, you know, we weren't really imagining it would become a band. And we won the contest. And instead of recording like one free song, we asked the guy if we could do all 10 tracks that we had written that last, like, you know, 10-day period. We asked him if we could record all live, put a bunch of mics in the room. That became our first record, 34 North River. So, you know, that all happened in like a span of like 2.5 weeks over the winter, from like, you know, middle to end of December into close into the new year. And I left, went back to California, and me and the guys kind of chatted a little bit via text. I remember Devin specifically saying, hey, we should, you know, see if we can actually do this. This record sounds pretty cool that we made. So I sent it to friends I knew in the music industry out of Los Angeles. You know, this was 2 weeks after we recorded, wrote everything, and started getting calls from record labels. Vader wanted to pick up first single, and, you know, things started happening, and made us realize that we could do it essentially for a living.
Talk about an overnight success, right? I mean, wow. In a 2 week period. Well, okay. And I'm just going to leave again and then maybe do this again. I mean, that's just, wow. Yeah. I mean, anybody to hear that would just be like, he's fucking lying. Like,
totally. Yeah. I wish I was. Well, the craziest part was that I feel worse for the audio. And, you know, he's now a friend of ours. We'd never met him before, but, you know, I think we ultimately recorded the record for $0, you know, and it ended up being kind of this like baseline of success for us, foundational piece. So we ended up, you know, wanting to kind of help him out. So we recorded our second few with him as well, to make sure that he eventually got paid, you know. We just felt bad that the whole record recorded. I think we tipped him like $75 or something.
Wow. Well, yeah. It's very generous of you. And I mean, it goes to the honesty and the heart that you guys have, which you can hear in your music, which I appreciate. So, I mean, that's awesome that you went back and did that for him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy. We still keep in touch. He's like the most successful, you know, recording studio in Northwest Ohio at the moment. So I think he's pretty stoked as well.
That's awesome. Now, how has music played a part in your life? What was it as a child that brought you to music, and why you're so passionate about it now?
You know, I think we all have different stories. You know, my grandmother was a pianist in Greece, and she moved to the United States in the 40s, and she taught my father, and he came from. And I know Devin, you know, he started playing drums early on, and you know, kind of funny that we're both percussionists, but neither of us play. Actually, technically, I play the kick, plays the snare when we do live shows, but we both do it with, you know, foot pedals. And but yeah, he started out with the drums, but then I think in high school he discovered the guitar, and now he's our guitarist. But yeah, I mean, I think it was kind of a slow introduction throughout our childhood that made us fall in love with playing music.
Do you remember like an aha moment of listening to something that completely changed your mind and your thought about what music could be, from, you know, piano and dad being a jazz drummer? Was there like a band or an artist that you heard that was an aha moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think for I mean, we grew up in the early 2000s when it, like, you know, we're talking like 2002 to 2004 was when we were in our, like, our junior high kind of formative years. And I think the records that were coming out then were like Transatlanticism by Death Cab for Cutie, and like it was like kind of that like emo punk indie, pop punk indie movement. You know, you had like Something Corporate, all those kind of moody piano driven bands were starting to come out right around that time, when we were like 12 years old. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. That, I think, definitely changed my mind from, you know, I was only taught classical piano, and I remember hearing those, realizing that, you know, hearing Ben Folds for the first time and realizing you could play rock piano is much different, you know. And then I think in our high school years, we're introduced to more modern stuff, you know, like more of that indie rock, the Radiohead, the Grizzly Bears of our, you know, into college, Fleet Fox, Andy Bird, all that.
And when you started to play music, what was it that you were playing? Were you just strictly on drums when you started out playing music, and did you run out and form a band right away?
Yeah, in the sixth grade, I played drums for a band for our talent show. We played Wipeout. I was really good at that drum part. So.
What was the name of that band?
I don't know if we had one. It was like a, you know, I think we just had one goal, to play the talent show. And then Devin,
what was the name of your very first band?
Well, Devin's, I don't know if I actually had a band that had a name, but Devin's first band was called, what was it, Devin? Conestoga Trace. It was named after like Conestoga Wagon. Cool band name. And then, yeah, and they were making like some amazing indie rock songs that were like kind of almost felt like Pavement, Television. You know, kind of really raw stuff. Really cool. That's how I was introduced to Dev. I was a fan of Conestoga Trace. They were like a local indie rock band, and I was kind of more of a closet. I, you know, played in my bedroom, never played out or anything. That's why I think I had that goal to play in 2020. A little bit.
What was that like for you, your first time to get out of that shell? I mean, you got out of your shell, and I mean, you did something most people don't do. You see immediate success.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty nerve-wracking. You know, I'd never really played much. I remember the guys were kind of helping me plug in the guitars and stuff. you know, me and the electricity didn't really work well together. But yeah, I think it wasn't that, you know, I think to this day, we all get pretty nervous before shows, but once you kind of hit that first chord, it all goes away. And I feel like that same thing happened during the first show as well. So.
What were your biggest apprehensions about once you're, it's going to be a full life change, especially when you just come home for winter break, you do this, and then you go back to California to continue to do what you were doing. I mean, what was... Was it an immediate, like, yeah, let's do this? Or was it like, I don't want to leave what I'm currently doing because there's no answer down the road?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely nerve-wracking, I think, for all of us to make that jump. You know, everyone was working more or less full-time jobs. So, you know, I was an educator, and Devin was doing... you know, he was working for a local public school system doing, you know, maintenance, construction, all sorts of pretty much anything that they needed him to do. And, you know, everyone kind of had these, like, much as my job was pretty itinerant, more it was a steady paycheck, you know. So we actually ended up spending the entire year of 2017 continuing to work our jobs, even though we had this record, we had this, like, record label, we had, you know, manager, you know, we were kind of just prepping our brand and prepping our team away all of 2017 before we even released one song. And right around November of 2017 is when we released the first song, Caesar Knows. And then in the beginning of 2017, everybody took as much paid time off as they had in order to go on our first tour to go play Bonnaroo and a couple other really cool festivals that they're some of our first shows that we'd ever played. And so we were still kind of working jobs during the year of 2017. And then, sorry, 2018 now. I'm sorry. 2017 was zero shows. 2018 was like the kickoff of all of our shows. Bonnaroo took all the paid time off. And then at the end of 2018, we all officially quit our jobs full time to kind of embark on a more serious financial endeavor, you know, and try to like push ourselves to make more money as musicians. You know, we saved up as much of those paychecks as we could in 2018. And then, we all went full time in 2019. Highly inconvenient for the great pandemic 2020, right after that. So, it's been definitely it felt like a really good idea at the time. And I think now we're the last few years were definitely a lot set us back in terms of what exactly we thought we were doing. But, this year has been a very strong start. We're really excited.
Yeah. And, you know, you're not alone in the past couple of years with everybody. And I mean, expressing that and explaining how taking that jump and then, you know, if people remember 2020, 2021 were pretty hard years throughout the continental United States and elsewhere. So,
For sure. Yeah,
I understand that. Now, when it comes to your music, and especially in today's day and age where there's just, you have to label something, you have to genre label something, mm-hmm. Which I really don't want to do. So I ask it this way. If there was one song of yours that you have out released to the world that mm-hmm. you had to play for someone that never heard of Oliver Hazard, what song of yours would you play for them?
Good question. Kind of create the whole understanding of who we are.
Yeah.
You know, I think Grenadine would be a really good one to hear. It kind of encapsulates the, the jump that we made from the most minimalistic first record that zero planning on it into, kind of the direction that we wanted to head. Had a little more thought production into it, a little more orchestration. But yeah, I like that one. I think the Flood record was is a nice little bridge that could prep people for anything forward or backwards. Oliver Hazard just covered.
And I mean, you recently released the single Ballerina, and mm-hmm. in December the Northern Lights EP came out, which is fucking awesome. And that's what kind of brought me to you guys. It was sent to me in November, and I was just like, all right, that's when this whole thing started to get you guys on the show.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have to say, and you know, I try to, I don't ever want to, you know, no disrespect to the other songs that you've created, mm-hmm. but Oh Mama, Won't You Write Me it's absolutely, it tears me apart and makes me happy at the same time.
It's
weird that a song can do that.
Well, so Devin wrote that one, and sitting next to me here driving, very very focused on the road right now. But I remember walking in to the, usually one of us will kind of, there's a new song on the table when someone's kind of playing a little riff here and there. You know, they kind of play it until someone's like, oh, what's that? You know, so it kind of hits. He had been playing that one, and we were like, oh, what's that? And then, you know, he sang it for us and decided to put kind of some harmonies on it, make it, you know, use the harmonies to elevate the, how intimate that song is. It's one of my favorite songs as well. You know, I think that was one, we always encourage each other to put our songs out, especially the ones that feel that intimate, vulnerable, and that was definitely one that we really wanted on the record that Devin had written.
Now, do you have something that you, a muse or anything that you use for inspiration, or is these just things that you guys sit down and it just all comes together like magic, like it should?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the inspiration for all the songs come from, you know, the sense of place of where we grew up and, you know, the people that exist in that world as well. Yeah, I wouldn't say that they're like invention, fabulation of our mind. I think a lot of it is based on real life. But yeah, I mean, we all come from different experiences also. So you know, it could be different for each member of the band. But for the most part, we all kind of work together on songs to kind of make it one of Oliver has a song. That kind of, I think what makes it really dynamic also, we all come to different experiences. We're all putting little touches on the song in order to make a citizen feel so single dimensional.
Now, you guys have been on the road for a little while now. What's been taking up the airwaves while you've been driving?
Good question. We've been playing a lot of Jason Isbell, and what else have we been playing? I think we had like pop 90s pop radio on yesterday. That was to kind of keep things spicy. yeah, we have like a 3-month trip to SiriusXM in our new car here, our new minivan. So we've been playing a lot of that. But,
well, it's perfect for a tour.
Exactly.
And do you have a band in your life that you constantly turn to that, you know, never lets you down, that, you know, no matter what mood you're in, you know what you're going to put on and you're going to get it and you're going to love it and you're going to need it?
For sure. I think a lot of where we all fall in, like, the, you know, we always have such different genres, but I think there's like a Venn diagram where we all land in the same region, and it's like that kind of late early 70s folk movement, almost like that Laurel Canyon movement where you got your Tom Petty's, those Joni Mitchell's, the Neil Young, I think we all really enjoy those, a lot of those records that feel pretty old, nostalgic, but you know, kind of spark the whole folk. So we really enjoy those.
Now, is that something that you guys grew up with listening to, or was this something you found on your own? Because that's, you know, that movement of music for.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of those songs are, you know, what our parents grew up with. So we're those records because they had them on vinyl as well, you know.
Yeah, that was my dad playing Gordon Lightfoot in the basement on vinyl all the time.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
Now, you've been on the road, you've been playing a lot of shows. Going into this show theme, what was the first concert you ever got to see live?
No, mine was funny. Deb, what was your first show ever? But who played there? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, show was
Red. Deb saw Red jumpsuit apparatus when he was like 12 or 11. You remember them? They were like kind of a pop punk band.
I remember them. They played recently at a show that I was invited to.
Yeah.
A friend of mine's band opened for them.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Yeah, the kind of that like grunge to pop punk is very popular in our in the Rust Belt, you know, where we grew up. There's a lot of old grunge bands that eventually came where a lot of that scene was playing. But I think Vine, you know, I'm not going to apologize for it, but I think it was Dave Matthews' band. You know, a lot of people give Dave Matthews' band a lot of shit, but, you know, they're a great band. I think no matter...
You can't give him shit, and I'm not here to say he's the greatest band ever, but at the same time, he did something better than anybody else was doing at the time. So you got to give him credit. I mean, I went to the shows. I saw him. I had to go like 5 days in a row because of a fucking girl like mm-hmm. to see Dave Matthews. Right.
Like, I'm not going to get a fire dance tattooed on my back, but, you know,
no.
I do like Dave Matthews to some extent. So.
Look, I wouldn't look at you any differently if you did get the fire dance. Well, actually, I probably would a little bit. Okay. There'd be a little bit of judgment.
I don't mind.
What was your favorite show you've seen live? Do you have a show that you just were blown away at?
You know, a big, I think a big one for me was I saw a band called Tiki Rose at Red Rock.
Uh-huh. Oh, you saw Ross at Red Rocks? That's mm-hmm. fucking crazy.
That was cool. Very cool. Yeah, definitely inspired us on possibilities of alive.
Yeah. How about the worst show you've ever seen?
I don't know. I think I don't know if I want to name the band, you know, just feel like they still out here. I'm gonna pass.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk offline.
Yeah.
Now, being in playing the type of music that you do, and sometimes when people play music, you get pigeonholed at what you also listen to and like, mm-hmm. but you also get kind of judged on certain things. Like, is there a type of music that you listen to that people would be really surprised that you get tons of enjoyment out of?
Yeah, like rocksteady reggae. I feel like it's okay. a bit different than what we play. Yeah, like old, like stuff. But yeah, that would probably be
different. All right, cool. That you answered that pretty fast.
Oh yeah, that's like one of my favorite genres of music.
That's awesome. I like how you stand right behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the world's going to end in 5 minutes. Meteor's going to crash into the earth, and you're forced to listen to one song to go out to. What song are you listening to?
I would probably say... honestly, this is a tough one. Maybe something by the Beatles.
Hmm.
Could be nice. See the end of the world.
The end of the world to possibly one of the greatest bands of all time. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. I could do something just like without lyrics also, you know. Like maybe some Herbie Hancock, you know. That's jazz.
It's John Hancock.
Exactly. Tommy Boy. That was filmed in Ohio.
Yep. Now, on this tour so far, you've played a bunch of great places, but so in your career, what's your favorite place that you've had an opportunity to perform at, and did the show go off splendidly?
You know, some of the coolest venues we've played at, I feel like, so far I've been on this tour. You know, there's been a lot of great venues, but we played last night. I don't know if you've ever been to Talia Hall in Chicago, but
I haven't, but I've been out to Chicago and seen some shows, but not there.
It was so cool. It was built 130 years ago as an opera house. It has incredible acoustic and about 1,000-person venue. Very intimate at the same time, where everyone right there in front of you. And you can see how old it is, like gold, almost. So, you know, balconies from the 1800s. And Yeah, it was incredible. The hospitality was nuts. Like, everyone was so helpful. There's always someone helping you out or something. But yeah, you just don't get that. Town guys, girls knew what they were doing. Everyone was like very professional and efficient. You'd be surprised to go to some of these venues really looking forward to.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. Trust me.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I totally get it. Where it's like, how do you not hear all, like, the entire place? All you can hear is the bass. Like, what, guys, everyone in this room can hear it except you behind the board right now. Like, what the fuck's going on?
Exactly.
But, and you're, listen, next week you're playing my favorite venue in all New York City. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've never been to the Bowery Ballroom, nor have we ever seen a show there. So, yeah, that's gonna be really cool. Also, playing back to back shows, something we've never done. And so, I think that'll be really fun.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Yeah, the Bowery is, to me, it's, if there's a show there, that's where I go see it, because it is just something about the room is magical to me, and I've been going there since, like, late 90s, early 2000s, and anytime I just walk in, I'm like, I'm so glad I'm, it's like home for me. Nice. I'm like, I'm so glad I'm here.
Good to know. So, is that where you're based right now?
I'm right outside in New Jersey, right outside of New York City. So I'm good. New York is my place to go see shows all the time.
Cool.
So.
Are you going to come to the show on?
I can't go on Wednesday, cause I have another obligation, and the show is sold out on Thursday. So
okay. Well, just give me a message after. I can see what I can do.
We'll figure it out. But I know you guys are traveling, so I don't want to keep you here forever, because you got a show tonight in Wisconsin too, and you're probably on some treacherous roads with some bad weather.
No worries.
Right now, I just like to give you the opportunity to tell everybody how to find all your stuff that you guys are doing, and, you know, throw out your handles to follow you.
So, we actually, the Oliver Hazard handle was taken when we started the band. So, we decided to go with Ollie Hazard, Oli Hazard, kind of as a nickname, and it just kind of stuck as a nickname. A lot of people refer to us as Ollie Hazard. Kind of fun. All of our handles, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, even our website, OlieHazard.com, at OlieHazard. But yeah, and then on Spotify, find us, Apple Music, Amazon Music, OlieHazard. I think those are the primary places, and yeah, we'll be on tour until March 1st. We have another one set for middle of April into May. So excited about that.
That's awesome. Well, we're in our final segment. It's called our weekly threes. It's three things you're listening to right now that you'd like people to check out. You and Devin can split if you want, since he's driving, okay. But up to you. Yeah, three things you're listening to.
What's that Jason Isbell song that you keep throwing on? It Takes a Lifetime by Jason Isbell. Give me a song you're listening to. Yeah. No Rule by Manchester Orchestra.
One of my favorite bands.
Yep. And then I would say the last song. I just discovered this deep cut called Drugs and Liquor by the Copper Children. Never heard of the band, nor have I heard of the song, but I heard it the other day in a coffee shop. And it was like a song that I'd heard before, and I shazammed it. Yeah, really cool song. So, it was good.
Awesome. Good three. All right, my turn for my three before we get out of here. My first one is Blake Morgan, New York rock and roll type music. Name of the album is Violent Delights. Number two is a band that's no longer around, which is very sad, but they may be doing some stuff soon, but Pentimento. They're out of Buffalo, New York. They're like an indie Midwest-ish emo band, and the name of the album is I, Comma, No Longer. And last but not least is band out of the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, alt indie rock band called Spice. Ooh. And the name of the album is called Viv, V-I-V.
Check that one out.
Bye. Those are my three for this week. So, guys, thank you so much for being here. Devin, you're doing a great job driving, and it was really nice to get to know you for a little while here, Mike, and hope you guys have a great end of your tour. You guys stay safe, and everybody out there listening to us, you know what time it is. It's time to go out, listen to Oliver Hazard, and have a great fucking time.
Like me, too much of a man. Never close your eyes and hold your stance. But in the middle of a daydream, I laugh. You know, I never seemed excited in the past. If you're like me, too much of a man, never cross your eyes and hold your stance. But in the middle of a daydream, I laugh. You know, I never seemed excited in the past. Oh mama, won't you ride me? It's going fast. You did something to control me, and time won't last. And time goes on. Time goes fast.
Thanks again for tuning into the Hidden Tracks podcast. We hope you enjoyed this week's show. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at HiddenTracks99. Also, send all your submissions to myhiddentracks99@gmail.com. Tune in next week. You may find your new favorite band. And don't forget to go out and have a great fucking time.